everyone at their core, one of our guiding values, our number one guiding value as Savvy is people matter. The very next one, though, is taking ownership. If you believe that people matter and the innate ability of them to be able to surprise you with the creativity and what they'll be able to do, that's key. But we're huge proponents of giving people more and more information in the right way, though, that it can be consumed. Yeah. So I get the feeling when we talk to more and more operators, it's like, look, everyone is convinced that technology can make their lives easier and more efficient.
Sure.
But there almost seems for their team to be a growing divide of we've invested in technology because of that conviction. Mm-hmm. But there's a gap oftentimes in like how we actually thought we were going to use it to how we're actually using it. And we're almost, I think it was Jim from Dave's Hot Chicken's like data schmata. My team's getting so much data. So another data point they like can't do something with is not worth it. Right. And so I think there needs to be like this step back, and especially in like our technology, is like, is the juice worth the squeeze? Like, what are we actually looking to accomplish? And yes, there's a lot of really great and cool things we can do. But like at the end of the day, it's about making the operator's life easier. And if you're not making it easier for the organization to coach and strategically teach the operator based upon data, that's easy to consume and easy to like say, not just here's a data point, but this is what to do with it.
Yeah.
Like I feel like all of us technology companies are just wasting our time.
It's getting so let's talk about that. I think this is a really interesting subject that everybody's facing right now. And Greg Majewski, who was on when we were at the leadership conference last week, and others have said that, they're about the number of number of solutions running in a restaurant seems to be around this number of 16. Let's get your mind around that.
For the larger brands,
16, yeah. Right? So let's just do back of the napkin math there says that you're at least doing, $2,000 a month in SaaS fees?
Oh, easy.
Easily, right? If you're just saying all things being equal, everything's $100 plus or minus 50, right? So you're $2,000 in SaaS. Every one of those pieces of software is telling you you're going to get 1 to 3 points back on something like food or labor.
Yep.
Every one of those things needs something to maintain it. It needs somebody to care about it, somebody to consume it, the data, like you're saying, and put input into it and learn it and train it and adopt it and then, by the way, you got to flip some burgers and make some food and serve your guests.
You're nailing it. At the end of the day, yes, it's great. We can have these things. Like, everyone's so bought in on guest feedback.
Yeah.
But, like, you dive in and start asking. So we always ask the operators, like, okay, so you get a review that says that the service was slow or a net. Then what?
Okay, so there is AI then, right? So we say, okay, what are the tools that are going to empower us, which is you're talking about, I think.
Yep.
If I have to have a feedback system that I have to go take my human time to answer this and make sure this person is taken care of and recover them, well, how valuable is it? And we got to take care of that guest. So then we have friends like Ovation that do that kind of thing. They'll respond to something. This isn't a plug for them. I just happen to know they do it. There's another company called Acura that does a really good job of that kind of stuff too. Yeah. Equal play, right? But so your point, Brock, is like, so let's talk about what that is though, because it feels like there's a staggering weight of solutions, right? And then now we're burying ourselves in solutions to dig ourselves out of a hole. It sounds like. What do you think about that, Chad?
Well, first of all, it seems like we've jumped into the content here and are officially started, which is great. Hey, everybody, ChatGTM.
welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show.
Go for it. So, hey. All right, Brock, you're in the jungle.
Yeah, this is the right conversation. I think every tech company and any vendor period, could start with this question of like, forget for your a second the silo of what your tech does. How do you work with the client? How do you work with the brand to make sure that they have a complete system, a complete process to incorporate your technology and be successful with it? And that includes, you know, processes, right? Both where you're the starting point and where you can get them to. No, you're not going to come in with your technology and completely reinvent how things get done in that organization. And they're going to have a culture and they're going to have people, and, you know, there's going to be some limitation of how that team can, you know, where they can get to in terms of how they engage with technology. So you got to be able to meet them where they're at. Sure, you can up-level them some if you have the process to do so. But yeah, you got to think about how your tech fits in with the real world. And that's like what I'd love to see how you guys approach that, Brock, is, you know, how do you make sure that, hey, all your cool tech is actually providing value to your clients post-implementation, post-pilot?
Nice to have.
Yeah, no, and that's literally like one of the key things we're always asking ourselves internally. And we even have brands come to us with things and we're like, yeah, that sounds really interesting. So yeah, if you are able to use video and use AI to get you that data point, what's your team going to do with it? Tell me what a store manager or a district manager or a trainer is going to do with it.
And now what?
Yeah. And a lot of times it's like, oh, well, right? Like they have this idea of what it could do. And it's like, well, no, like let's really dive in with the folks where the rubber meets the road,
right,
which is the operators, and see what they can do with it. And oftentimes there's quite a big disconnect from what we've thought up in our, right, company discussions, and then from executives at other companies and the ideas that they have. Right. There's this game of telephone, the disconnect happens. So I don't think we have the silver bullet solution, but what we've learned over the last 7 years of operating savvy is some of the most valuable feedback we can get is spending time with the people doing the work. They have the best ideas because they're the ones doing it all day, every day down in the trenches. And so we're constantly saying, okay, great idea that came from a conference or came from somewhere, but now like, let's go ask a bunch of store managers what they would do with that, how they would actually use this information. So like I'll use a real specific example of speed of service. We have a drive-through tool, right?
Right.
Accurately track vehicles across the entire experience and tell you not only exactly how long guests are waiting for the entire experience from entering your property to getting their food, abandonment rate, all of that.
Yep.
And historically, drive-through analytics, just nature of the way that they were done through loop systems, and they just showed a car red, yellow, or green. Okay.
Right.
At that period of time. And it was just a first vehicle.
Binary, right. It is random. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, we've all experienced the outcome of this. So they design processes around that. And so what it's led to is, oh, I have to have that car's red, move it. Get it out of the way. So you start like a good manager, right? We're like, so what do you do to your team? Oh, we just encourage them. Hey, we got to move that car out. We're hitting overtime. But if the employee's like, hey, no, their order's not ready, or we have their order wrong and I have to issue a refund.
Or I'm talking to a guest right now.
Yeah. And we've experienced it. Like I have 3 young kids.
Right.
We just had this. We stopped to get hot chocolate late at night. I live in Utah where it's cold, right? So after a basketball game.
And let's face it, you have to have sweets.
Yep. I have a little bit of a sugar addiction, if those who know me. So
send cookies if you want to sway Brock.
Exactly. If you want my business, cookies, brownies, and if you could figure out how to get ice cream sent in the mail to me that arrives cold, like you're guaranteed
boom.
To
be. Boom.
Address will be in the notes.
But, right, like, I ordered, went and paid for my food, and I was sitting there for a second. I'm like, hey, do you mind just pulling forward and we'll bring you your stuff out? And then I sat there for 8 minutes, had to get out of my car in the cold, go walk in and go get the hot chocolate. I have not visited that location since, and it's not, it's a great location. It's just like, no, like the service was bad. Like, yeah. And it wasn't, right? If you didn't work in the industry, you have to ask yourself, like, what's the guest perception?
Right.
What's going on? And I'm like, okay, I know the guest perception, how I felt, but put yourself in the shoes of that employee. they just saw it was red. They know they're measured off of that. And so like, well, I got to get them across the board because
right.
I'm going to get harped on. And I feel like I have zero control over this, which creates anxiety, right? Which it creates this. I do not control what I'm being measured against.
And don't know what's coming next.
Correct. Like these are out of my control. But if you just step out of restaurants and say, well, any good manufacturing process improvement company, no one will argue you should eliminate specifics and look at trends. Because if you want to improve systematically, you have to get rid of the noise that you can argue against. If we look at a specific, right. You can argue, we got the guest order wrong. This, what, our fry, this machine was broken. Yes,
you can argue. Moment in time, right?
Correct. But if you normalize trends, that removes all noise. And it's like, no, this is actual truth. This is data that you now can go and impact. And instead of playing crisis management, which is let's point the hose at the fire, figure out what's starting the fire, right? And so anyways, like back to my rant on like how you should approach things.
Yeah.
We didn't get that insight until we talked to store managers and frontline employees. Everyone else told us it has to be real time. Show us this metric.
Hmm.
But there was no actual improvement off of that metric. But
what do you mean? They're not going to run out of the door of the office and just run up to the front and go, oh my God, it's happening right now.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
right.
But that was the feature requirement.
Yeah.
And so in technology, I think a lot of times we need to step back and say, yes, it can be done, but is it worth it? And why are we doing it this way? What's the outcome we're looking for? And how does this improve the quality of the lives yeah. of those who should interact with it?
And well, it depends on what you need it for, right? Like, so if that camera is pointed at a pool and somebody falls in it, you want immediate action on that thing. That's something you need to get on, right? But this is different. Like, how do we solve a long ongoing training problem, customer service problem, throttle or clog point, like all that stuff, right? That's what that ties to.
Correct. So that you can actually like systematically impact change, establish baselines, look at for areas of improvement over time, because that's how you can like really actually ensure the same type of guest experience across the board. But it comes back to our original part of the discussion. Like, is the technology actually solving the problem, or are we just throwing band-aids on a bunch of symptoms? Mm. And is it improving the lives of the people that are using it? That is what technology should do, is remove the mundane tasks that kind of are a little bit of a, you know, creativity suck, a little bit of a mental suck, and allow people to do what they do extremely well. So if that's a frontline employee, like technology should free them up to focus more on the guest or the task at hand, right? It should free up the manager to spend less time having to try to figure out what's going on and just tell them exactly what's happening so they can go coach and improve, right? When you can remove those mundane tasks, you start to improve the quality of life of the individuals, but also the impactfulness of what they can do. And so I think technology companies, sometimes we run into the trap of thinking, oh, this is so fantastic and great, and we only do one thing and do that one thing really well, but then you end up with 16 tools or 18 tools that do one thing.
Yeah.
And that one thing kind of overlaps half of what the other thing's doing, and you end up with
this could be a potentially inflammatory conversation if we go down these one thing routes. And I love all my friends that are on here. I want to make sure, and I know that's not the intent. It's funny because there's so many things in there that I know, when we know all these people, and most people watching know all the folks that do this stuff, like they all believe in their hearts that they're solving a big problem. Right. That is 100% true. And then there's lanes that overlap that are like, wow, well, who stays and who goes in those areas? But yeah, but when you first started, I was feeling like there's this enormity of things that are faced in restaurants, and how many decisions can a manager make to affect the business when they're on the floor, and how many data points can move them? Like, Chad, I know this is something you and I talk about a lot, right?
Brock, this very much intersects with a discussion we kept hearing about at RLC. And that was, with better technology, AI, it now becomes more possible, more feasible, and more sensible to bring certain insights to the frontline directly, right? Give them like straight, like, hey, data does its thing. You know, you know, you guys could do this, provide all kinds of insights into operations and go, here are frontline workers and whatever, you know, modality you do that, versus taking it to the manager, having them filter and synthesize it and then coach, you know, give the directives to the workers. And we see this being a trend where more and more people are saying, yeah, just give it to, empower the worker directly. Where do you fall on that? And how does that impact intersect with, you know, savvy solutions?
Yeah, we are very much proponents of empowering people and giving them as much as you possibly can so that they can do their job extremely well, right? Everyone at their core, one of our guiding values, our number one guiding value as savvy is people matter. The very next one, though, is taking ownership. So, right, if you believe that people matter and the innate ability of them to be able to surprise you with the creativity and what they'll be able to do, you also have to say, well, great, if I'm going to empower them, I want them to own the outcome. Well, I should give them as much data and as many tools that can help them to do that, right? There needs to be an ROI measurement in there. That's key, but we're huge proponents of giving people more and more information in the right way, though, that it can be consumed.
Well, I know that you're not about gotcha culture, right?
Yeah.
This is coaching culture. Can you share a bit like how they use that? Like the tapes have to be so valuable in catching certain things that are opportunities.
Yeah. Like a couple of really specific examples. One, we have a loss prevention component to our tool. It's actually like a third of our platform, but right, we do a video, people have naturally gravitate there. And there's this question, and I get it, that operators have where they're like, do I want to be big brother? Right? Like, do I want to be able to look and do these things? And if I look at it and say, yeah, you can look at big brother in two ways. You can look at it one of I'm overseeing them because I don't trust them, or hey, big brothers in my life have been those that have caught me, that have found me when I'm a little bit off track and said, hey, I care about you. This is exactly what's going on, and I can see it from a little bit of a different level and a view than you. We need to bring you back here to the center. And like, you see it all the time in the news that a manager did this, an employee did this, and it was thousands of dollars. Just catch them the first time. Don't fire them. Catch them and let them know, like, simple employee discounts. Like, we see the data and it's costing brands thousands of dollars. It's like a really simple, easy process. Let the team know you're auditing that. Show them a couple of things, but sit down with that person and coach them and say, hey, this is theft and you're actually costing me money. And if you continue down this path, I'll have to prosecute and you'll end up with a record and all of these things. Like, that's not a good scenario anyone wants to be. But if you just turn a blind eye to it and say, oh, I don't want to be big brother, you're still going to prosecute them when they get to that point and it's going to happen. Like, let's catch.
And it's 10 times worse.
Yeah.
No one wants someone going with a record because they were giving away food because they saw everyone else do it. But like, take the opportunity to coach that individual, because retaining talent is like, I don't care what business you're in. So for technology companies, restaurants, wherever it is, it's the people that make the difference. And I want to know who's going above and beyond at Savvy to make it better. And I want to know that information so I can highlight them, reward them, retain them, promote them. So
right. It strikes me you're in a position that you could even coach your clients on how to do this. I'm curious if you've seen any kind of before and after with Savvy in terms of cultural impact on your customers, because they can, you know, they're empowered to have those kind of conversations, and maybe being encouraged by you to do so and your team to do so. Anything that stands out to you in that regard?
Transitioning more to like the speed of service side of it, is they know they're being tracked for an outcome, not just tracked for the sense of being tracked, if that makes sense. A lot of times back to my hot chocolate experience of getting pulled forward and forgot about, they didn't want to forget me, but why were they being tracked on speed of service? And so we always say, whenever our tools get deployed, let everyone know exactly what you're doing, how you're doing it, but why you're doing it, right? And when you do that, all of a sudden it changes from a, no, they're just doing this so that I can know when I'm getting off so I can improve. So like we looked at and said, well, yeah, you can turn a vehicle red and show them that the wait time's long, but why don't we analyze the data and say, hey, you're having your best 30 minutes ever right now, or you're 5% off. Like, keep up the great work. See if you can beat your personal record. That's not telling them to move a car forward. That's telling them, it's just like, hey, you're doing an amazing job. Let's turn this into more of a carrot than a stick. And so you saw the culture around speed of service change to a, this is something I want to improve on, not a, oh, they're measuring this, so how do I game this system?
What about like language, for example, and I don't remember if you guys do this or not, so please remind me, if I have somebody helping a guest and they're upsells or they're saying, would you like to go large on that, things that they're doing, do you capture that in the system in this way, is another potential coaching tool, or am I out of my depth?
Right now, that's caught and done in a manual way.
Uh-huh.
Here in a few quarters, that's going to be completely automated.
Ooh.
But yes.
Good stuff.
Yeah, back to like, I mean, it's the premise of why we started Savvy is we saw all of these data points. And as we met with operators, they were like, yeah, I'm getting more and more data out of my sites. And it's phenomenal, right? It's helping me to make decisions based upon truth rather than assumptions, which everyone wants to do. But data only tells half the story. It just tells you a lot of times the symptom or the result.
Yeah.
It's not telling you the illness or not the illness. It's not telling you what's going really well and why this store is getting a higher ticket value and higher review scores and whatnot. And so when we met with these brands, we're like, well, why is it so hard to know the root cause? And I mean, it's pretty common sense, but if you're operating tens to hundreds of stores, how can you be there all day, every day and ensure these things are happening? You spend a ton of money on training. You spend a ton of money on programs and people going out and doing secret shopper visits and all these things. But at the end of the day, knowing exactly what happened when you got a result is really hard. And we just said, well, video and audio are the two largest unstructured data sets. And what we mean by that, unstructured just means it's really, really difficult to structure it to find what you want. Because it's just linear, right? It's time-based. So you have all this video and all this audio, and the only thing you can really do is search it by time. So our whole premise was, well, great. If it is so valuable, if whenever you had a question, you could immediately go to that time of video and audio and look at it, you could answer those questions. Whether it's negative review, whether it's service time related, whether it's cleanliness, whether it's rudeness, you could answer all questions. So it then became, well, will we be able to structure video in a different and better way to be able to answer these questions? And if you integrate it to other systems and AI becomes as powerful as everyone claims it is, which right now I'm a little bit of an AI skeptic, even though I run an AI technology company. It's really, really...
It is in the box.
It's not out running free yet. But... Everyone thinks that it's going to be able to unlock the entire world. And yes, eventually, probably, maybe. But what it's really, really good at is organizing massive amounts of data. And it does it different than if you look at like Google made it so we could search all of the information in the world. But you have, as we all know, like if you don't search specifically and you don't ask the right questions,
right,
you don't end up with the right search results. And then you still have to spend the time to go read through all of those results. Well, AI now can say, no, not only am I going to search it all based upon the prompts and search, but I'm going to actually scour it. I know what you're looking for. I'm going to analyze all of the data and I'm going to tell you the insights I gathered out of that.
Is it me or BI Cubes got knocked out of the box? Just side journey there.
No, you're 100% right. Like all of a sudden, it's like we had all these dashboards, but all dashboards do is point you to the insight.
Yeah.
Like, and even video, I don't think, and it's going to be a transition time in 3 years.
Yep.
I don't think very many people are going to look at video, even in our platform. We're designing our UI around this for the future, but it's like,
explain that.
If you have right now, everyone's used ChatGTP,
yep.
Grok, right?
Yep.
Lexity, whichever is your favorite sauce of it, Gemini.
Yep.
Well, you look and you ask these questions, you start to go, holy cow, this is crazy. How, like, I have. Anyone that knows me, I am a person of faith. I have a lot of like religious discussions with the thing. And it's crazy how it's like being able to take complex history of humanity might answer really specific questions for me. So if you look at that same context and say, well, right now people use Savvy to look at dashboards.
Yeah.
It shows them where they're efficient or not efficient.
Yeah.
And then they search video by one of those data points and they watch it.
So they're not scrolling the video. They're watching the data.
Correct. They're watching the data, takes them to the video, and then they go coach. What I think is going to happen is, why take the time to look at the data and look at the video? Just ask the question, I'm visiting this location.
Right.
What do I need to address?
Yeah.
And if
you're coaching a specific item, and so that's just coaching, right?
Correct. I don't need to go look at the service times and figure out where I was consistent, where I wasn't. I don't need to go look at store cleanliness. I don't need to go watch the video of all of these things. The AI can actually, and right now this is not the case, but it will be very soon. Let it do all of that for you and just say, here's the action items you need to take. And just like in ChatGPT, here's the link. If you want to go read deeper or go watch on your own, go do it. But after you trust the data enough, because you've seen it be accurate, you go, okay, great. You just saved me hours of time. Now I'm spending more time coaching. I'm spending more time with people doing what people can do best. That I don't think machines are going to replace anytime soon.
Well, we're right. So if you've ever edited, or somebody's edited using Descript, you don't actually edit video, you edit the text. And I think that's on par with what we're talking about here, because it's not no longer worried about what's there. It's actually the substance inside of it.
Yeah. Great. Barack, ultimately, we're here right now. We're talking about how to make it easier for the customer, how to lower the bar for them to get a value out of the tech and the solution. But you also said AI isn't at that level yet where it can really make it super easy for everybody. Right. I'm curious where it is today in terms of when you're talking to a customer and you're evaluating their sophistication with data, right, using dashboards, using insights, and operationalizing that today. Where do you draw that line of like, hey, oh, you're good. You know, you got it together. We can help you versus, you know what? You're not at the level yet, or you would be very diplomatic here, but we can't help you. Right. We can't help you yet because of your culture around it. How do you use data today? What do you look for? And where's that line for you guys?
That's a fantastic question. I'm going to break that into two, if that's okay. The first part, like what's doable today, and then how are brands able to work with it? I'm going to use videos, examples, just because that's where we spend a lot of our time. We go into brands a lot that talk about like, oh, hey, image analysis, computer vision. Could you look at order accuracy? Could you look at sentiment of our guests? And you start to go, okay, like, cause you've seen these videos and whatnot. Great. Maybe it can, but like, it's got to be the perfect scenario. And like the lettuce has to look like this and the tomatoes, right? Like, and then you changed it a little bit or placed it in something different and the angle was wrong and the camera got stuff on it. And we've just never been able to see that gets scalable today, right? Like there's great tech out there, but you look at it and say, okay, everyone immediately jumps to that or guest sentiment. Every time I look at the camera, it says I'm pissed off and angry. I'm like, if you know me, like yeah, maybe I get angry sometimes, but I'm generally a happy guy.
It's RBF, resting Brock face.
Hey, I appreciate that, Peck. But no, like really, and it's like, and so you look at that and say, okay, great. There's all of these ways it could go wrong. And in the perfect lab, it works, but at scale, it doesn't. Even if it did, what's the cost and what's the impact, right? And as you look at the cost and impact of that, like if you get the guess wrong, the cause, like what are you going to do with it if you see that your 40% of your guests are upset and angry? You're still going to just like go dig deeper and visit the store and talk more. Right? Like, it's just not quite their order accuracy. It's like, well, if 5% of orders are wrong or 6% of those, like, will I stop going somewhere if they put pickles on my burger and I ask for no pickles? Like maybe most people don't. I'm not going to go leave a negative review on that. Right. But like if I go in somewhere and it is really, really dirty and like filthy, I'm probably not going to visit there again. This isn't just Brock. The data says that 75% of guests who see reviews that say something's not clean and there's a cleanliness issue, they say they won't go attend that. That's, I think Consumer Reports did the study on that. That was a Harris poll. But anyways, so what can AI do? Back to like that scenario of emotion and guest sentiment and order accuracy, probably not scalable, and it's not there yet. I haven't seen it work outside of labs. But if you looked at cameras and you looked and said, does that room look clean? Is the employees wearing what they're supposed to be doing? Like, is there clutter around? If you could see that from a camera, AI can actually see that and do that. And taking the audio, right? If you've got the guest interactions, taking that audio and synthesizing it down to what are those key things you should know about? Was profanity happening, right? Was there you can hear negativity actually pretty quickly in those types of things. So it's there on those really solved problems that us humans would be able to solve. I probably wouldn't be able to sit there and be able to actually like, oh, did they put too many onions on that burger? Right. Like,
right. It'd
be hard to do that visually. So that's where we're seeing technology being, is it's able to do the things that humans would be able to do if they were looking at it from the same view that the camera, or looking at the same data. If I listened to hours of video, I'd be able to tell you when people swore. I'd be able to market, right? Like, you'd be able to market if you did an upsell. AI's there. So synthesize large amounts of data and make it useful.
And mind-numbing stuff. Like, just, you wouldn't want to look for the F-bombs for hours. Just like...
Correct. But when they happen, I definitely want to know if they're happening so I can take, like, technology's there. It's not quite there on some of those other complex, really specific use cases. What we tell brands where we're like, how we're probably not a great fit for you is... if they can't answer the question of what they're going to do with the data, like, we're probably going to end up spending a lot of time just giving them data that doesn't get used, and it's not going to be worth their investment. So we wouldn't be a good partner going into that. And they've thought about that. But most brands, honestly, I've been just impressed as we've started to dive in more and more with lots and lots of brands by just being fortunate to grow. It's crazy how sharp and how sophisticated these people, especially as we talked about, as you push down the line, like the ideas that come from frontline employees and store managers and what, like, I'm just shocked at their grasp on technology and things and how they're like, could I do this? I can do this in my personal life with this personal technology. And you're like, that's actually a fantastic idea. But to prepare for technology.
Yeah.
I think, and it's someone mentioned at RLC, I think it might've been, Kelly McPherson. It was in the when buy versus build discussion. And they mentioned, like, it's on us to make sure that our vendors communicate. Even if there's like no synergy between their companies, if they're supporting us, we should make sure that they're communicating and working together.
We are here. We might blow up the API.
Correct. And like, I that's something that we've been, I think technology companies, we need to do a better job of just saying like, look, we need to all work together. At the end of the day, we're all trying to support this customer. How do we do that effectively? Like, we create a lot of service related data and cleanliness and compliance. If they have another BI tool or another tool that they want that data in, like, we're like, absolutely, here you go. Like, I don't think we should ever play gatekeeper over like the customer's data and how and who, which one of their vendors can use that. It's like, I don't know, we're supporting the customer. So I think technology companies, we need to be better at being able to work together and communicate and share these things for the customer and make sure things are connected. Because as AI does get to the point it can do these things, it's only as powerful as the data set it's combined against. And if you have 16 siloed data sets, it's going to be really hard to be able to use it to its full power.
So what's, like, as I was thinking about that stuff, like, there's so many good things that come with this, right? And you know, the Orwellian fear that sits in the background, I think most of society's kind of let that go, right? We carry these phones around, we go places everywhere that there's cameras every single inch where we're at. And I think they'll, one, I guess, just get over it. That's here, right? But the other thing is, there's beautiful things that happen in this. You find moments in time where people are doing good. You're able to coach, like you're saying, you're able to help move the needle in a meaningful way and maybe catch a bad habit that's repeating that's hurting the business that people might not even know just because they've been doing it their whole lives that way. What are some myths that, like, because I'd love to hear this, because I think everybody has their own myths they want to bust. Like, and so what are some myths about this that you think that if people knew more in this area, or you broke this misconception, that they'd have a better time?
I think the first myth is that the best use case for video is security and liability prevention and loss prevention.
Okay. Well, and so, tell us about that.
Yeah. Instead of operational insights, like, we had a brand that we're seeing a big increase in refunds.
Hmm.
And you, right, if you look at that, refunds will typically fall in like a loss prevention arena, right? A margin improvement.
Yep.
Like, once again, the context behind, well, why were they seeing all these refunds? Was it like a quality problem of the product? Was it a service problem? Like, why are they getting these refunds?
Is it the same person?
Correct. Like, was it fraudulent? Like, what was going on? Well, right. Zero fraud when they dove into our system and said, show me all the refunds of this item.
Right.
It was actually just a dessert item that was being refunded, and it was nothing to do with fraud. And so they went back and said, well, let's go. We just see a bunch of customers walking up and saying, hey, I never got this dessert item. Can I have that refunded?
Oh.
And the guest or the employee would be like, oh yeah, sorry. Great. Well, so you would, if just watching that, you're seeing, well, this is like a process problem, right? We weren't delivering the goods, which kind of, but when they went and watched the video, it's how they were actually upselling. They were saying, do you like this dessert item before your meal or after your meal, with your meal or after?
Oh, no context.
Yeah. It's dessert. I'll have it after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So someone in training had trained around this script, which they were using an option close, right?
Yep.
Fantastic sales. But no one actually looked at operations of how that would be fulfilled, because
right.
It dropped off the KDS screen, right? Or however they'd set up their systems.
Oh, geez.
Wow.
So they weren't taking it out. It seems harmless enough. It was like,
it's like a conveyor belt that just keeps dumping into a bin that's not ready for it. It's just piling up, right?
It was a $20,000 a month problem.
Ah.
And once again, when they were able to go watch and see, it was like, oh, we either need to change the way we're selling, or we need to change our back end processes. But like, that's so much more impactful than, hey, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, right? Like,
yeah,
let's go. Cause you've heard it 1,000 times. I was just having a conversation last night with a backdoor neighbor, works in a large company.
Yeah.
You know, I've been telling them about production problems for years. I finally had one of our big customers get upset enough that he canceled. And it got up to the president of the company, and they looked into it, and it was, they're like, well, what happened? And he said, well, it's production problems. And he said, they looked back for the last 3 years, I had been telling them problem, problem, problem. But there was no means to get that up the chain so that decisions could be made. There was like that communication was broken. So back to the like dispelling, like, who doesn't want to make decisions based upon truth instead of assumption? You tell me a frontline employee that you want in your organization who says, no, I don't want you to grade me and promote me based upon data and truth. I want you to do that off of hearsay and assumptions.
And fear.
Yeah, it doesn't exist, right? All of us were completely fine with someone measuring and tracking these things or productivity as long as we understand the rules of the game, right? Meaning, just tell me how you're doing it and why you're going to do it and what you're doing, so I know why you're measuring me. And then most people will shock you at how productive they are. Most people want to be good. I firmly believe that to the innermost part.
Yeah.
People are good. They want to do good. They want to make their situation better. Most people are feeling trapped right now that they don't have the ability to do and control things.
Yeah.
And so we as organizations put in like cages, if you will, and guardrails, and you can only do these things, to where they feel powerless, rather than teaching them core principles and values and saying, we're going to measure it, so if you get off track, we're going to come coach you, but now go and do, like, right? And surprise us on the great things you'll do.
The one thing, it feels like that this could be a double-edged sword, that if you have the wrong person that's behind the desk that doesn't know how to coach it, this could be a punitive thing. And I think training needs to happen at all levels is what's also part of the story, that you have to teach the people how to use these things to be the better coach.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah. Chad, I think we're kind of coming up on this here.
We got there fast, but yeah.
But Brock, like, this is freestyle hip hop, everybody. We didn't script any of this stuff out. We went down some roads and rabbit holes. But one thing, this is with a genuine heart, you know, whenever I talk to Brock and I hear him talking about his business, the people he helps, and it is genuine. There's a light that radiates from you in a very good way. And a very honest, and I am here to help with this stuff. And there's a kindness to you that I guarantee if somebody got to know you, they'd want to be your friend. You're just a good guy, Brock. And I love what you do in the world. I love what you brought to the world with Savvy. You know, we've known each other a while, and this is all because of who you are. You know, and so you didn't ask for this, and I might be making you blush, but fortunately you're in the dark there. So they won't see you glowing too much. But I had to say that. If people don't know who you are, they need to. You're a man of faith. You're a man that is in your community. You're a father. You're a leader. You're a mentor to people. Like, you are the full deal. So, anyways, but yeah, he's got Savvy too. That being said, right? Where are you going to be next? You know, you saw you at RLC. You know, I always like to close up with the, how can we find the Savvies and get to know more about this awesome brand and this tech and these things you're bringing to provide great relief and benefit to the teams in the world.
Yeah, no, we'll be at most every major conference in the restaurant industry. So next one, I think coming up here for us, will be out at NRA. We'll be spending time at FS Tech and the Fast Casual Summit, a few of the others. Reach out on LinkedIn, right? We love to have the conversations and love to learn, right? We're not operators, right? Is what we always like constantly tell our team. So ask the operators the questions and observe. And pay attention more to what they're saying the problem is than the recommended solution. Because if we would have listened to we just have this perennial thing at Savvy where we're like, when the iPhone came out, if you guys remember it, right? Came out.
I remember back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day, I was a shiny, bright-eyed 19-year-old in the Bay Area. So there was a lot of excitement around it. But most all of the original critique was, you might remember, it didn't have a keyboard. You guys remember those cards?
Why it doesn't have a keyboard.
Yeah, everyone was like, yeah, it doesn't have a keyboard, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Right? And because the only thing that you had ever been able to do with a smartphone was send emails and create calendar invites. Like, that was it. And I'm sure that it was really frustrating for the folks over at Apple who were like, we're trying to unlock like the entire world with personal computing. And change the way, you know, you can argue for better or worse some of the things, like, but you're talking about keyboards.
Can you imagine our watches now? Sorry, go ahead.
No, literally, like, so anyways, like, I just think that we love to hear from like people and ideas. We're spending a lot of time in technology. We need to learn from operators. Like, what are the pain points? What are the real problems? How do we help make things better for people? Because if we're not doing that, the end of the day, like, we're not really doing much. All businesses are people doing things, right? People working with other people. So, like, let's get great partnerships where we can go and do some really great things.
Awesome. Well, I think that puts a bow on it very nicely. So, you know, Chad, I don't know if you have anything else to pop in here with. I know you're on vacation in some fantastic spot.
Yeah, working the whole time. Nobody mind the kid using the ice machine.
Amazing.
Yeah. This is an awesome, you know, Brock, it was good seeing you at RLC. It's continuing the conversation now, and I just hope more people get to know you, like Beck was saying.
Yeah. And so, if anybody, you know, one last thing about Brock, and this isn't a gush, he likes to hear these problems. He actually meant that. So if you have something in your brand, you're like trying to figure out some stuff, or even if you're another tech vendor that's still going to work with this kind of stuff, shoot him a LinkedIn, because he is actually really responsive. I know. And maybe have a jam session and get somewhere good. So, Brock, thanks, man, for putting the time in with us today.
Thank you, guys. Like, seriously, what you're doing for the industry of making sure that information is getting out to the operators and doing it in a way that is real, authentic, and genuine. Like, sincerely, thank you. And thank you for having me on.
All right, back at you. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much. And this has been ChatGTM. I don't know. We have an episode number here.
20, big 20.
We've turned 20 today. Next one, we can have a drink. No.
Hey.
All right. That's been ChatGTM. This is a wrap.